Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, if you want to bring on the chest hair and the medallions, sure, we'll entertain those thoughts too.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Lenahan, I want to welcome you to this final episode in the Bee Gees pre-disco series. All credit and thanks goes to Paul Hayden out there in Wilmette, Illinois, for his help and great work on this. Really appreciate it a lot, Paul. And I hope you're going to enjoy it, too. We're in the home stretch now. You're going to hear how the Bee Gees changed into what the Bee Gees became. Then they kind of changed again a little bit in the late 80s and 90s. But anyway, that's to come down the road. Before we jump into the last little tasty morsel of this Bee Gees four-course meal, I want to tell you that we're going to begin February new music starting on March 18th. That's right. Get in all your picks from the best songs and albums. Remember, you're allowed one each. From the month of February. And the deadline for that is March 16th. So if you're listening to this today as it's released, which is March 10th, that gives you 6 days, a week or so to get everything in. And you know how to do that, don't you? Attach a voice file to an email and send it to rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call the Suburban Party line, 612-440-1984. And that'll get you through. All right, if you remember where we left off last time with the Bee Gees, things were at a pretty low ebb. They were back to playing what you would call supper clubs. They were not having hit records any longer. They were scrounging around. They were definitely on a downward trajectory. And they managed to secure a contract with Atlantic Records. Some folks at Atlantic had some interesting ideas. And that's where we're going to pick up the story and finish the pre-disco Bee Gees right here on Rock in the Suburbs. So let me turn it over now to your guide, Paul Hayden, and you can hear him and I discussing what happened next in the Bee Gees story.
So at this point, they're recording for Atlantic, and they put out an album called Mr. Natural, and it's produced by Arif Mardin, who is one of the bigger producers of the time. He had a R&B background, and I think the record label wanted the band to try something a little different. So Mardin suggested they listen to the radio, listen to what's on, what's popular. We know you guys like R&B. We think it's time you kind of expand your sound a bit. I know you don't want to, but look at the results of your last 2-3 albums. You're just not, it's not working. So you got to change. You got to change with the times. So they do that, and the album is pretty good. Title track is a good one, and Charade is kind of a, what do they call, like a quiet storm, almost kind of a ballad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We listen to music below. this moment is real. You're the light of my life. You are welcome to my Shiraz.
There you can kind of see them taking the baby steps into that R&B sound. And it, again, it did not do so well. And Atlantic even thought about dropping them. But
yeah,
the producer, Martin, thought he goes, I can take them there. I can get them there. I feel like I've built the foundation. Their minds are open. And I think I can get them to the next level. So while this is going on, the Bee Gees run into Eric Clapton, who had just recorded 461 Ocean Boulevard in Miami at Criteria Studios. And he said it was great. It was a great experience. He was coming off some heavy stuff. He needed to kind of get to a different environment to create and record. And that record, pretty good record. So he suggested
the
same thing. Change of scenery. It's nice and sunny down there. Why don't you go check it out? And that's where they ended up recording Main Course with the singles Jive Talkin' and Nights on Broadway. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Pretty amazing. And I think one of the amazing things when I was just doing some basic background research was Main Course was the first time that really Barry ever sang prominently anyway in falsetto, right? And
yes,
that became the Bee Gees sound, right? It was his falsetto on many of these hits that he had. And it's amazing that it took all that to get there. And, you know, obviously we all kind of know what happened afterwards in the second act. It's quite a second act, or third act, I guess, depending on how you put it with the Bee Gees. But
right.
It's mind blowing. I was speaking to my wife last night, and I said, you know the Bee Gees, right? Yeah, sure. When do you think they first started recording? And I think she said something like 1968 or 67. Something like that. It's like, no, you're way off. And it was a lot sooner than that. Like, there's this whole incredible thing. She's like, no way. But it's amazing to think that you go through all the mega hits and, you know, the time that they were the gold teeth, chains and medallions and chest hair. And
they were. And you couldn't avoid them.
Yet there was 12 albums, Paul, before that happened. 12, which is incredible. You know, amazing.
And you know, I probably had a similar experience. You know, you when you get into music in the beginning, it's you kind of get the baseline, the classics and Stones and the Who and the Kinks, and then you start digging a little deeper, and you start at the time before the internet. I would find these once a week on the rock stations. They play a not a deep cut thing exactly, but they play like a 3-hour show, a syndicated show, and they would go a little deeper and you'd hear things you wouldn't normally hear. And I don't recall ever hearing the Bee Gees there either. Like, it took me. So here's how I finally decided to dig. I was reading Robert Christgau's Albums of the 70s Guide, and he graded this one, Bee Gees Gold, Volume 1. I think he gave it a B plus. And I've been reading it for a while. And he turned me on to a lot of stuff that I'd never heard of.
That's a great book.
Great book. And so I'm like, well, I'll give this a shot. And I found on a copy. And I'm like, wow, this is really good. And that kind of started me on my journey through their career, and eventually got back in the days of the box sets. Those were
the same. There you go. Wow.
Tales from the Brothers.
I've never seen that. So what are you describing? It makes for great podcasting, I know, but describe what you're holding up there, Paul. That is for the listeners. That's a box set, it looks like.
So this is a box set. It's Tales from the Brothers Gibb, A History in Song, 1967 to 1990. It's 4 CDs. The first disc is pretty much New York Mining Disaster through, I'm not sure which album, probably through the end of the 60s. And then the second disc is Lonely Days through Sherrod. So that's those early 70s years. And then disc 3 is kind of the one with the meat. It's got Jive Talking and all the Saturday Night Fever songs. Goes up through Tragedy and Love You Inside Out. And then the fourth disc, well, I wasn't really a fan of their 80s output.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, if you're a Springsteen fan, disc 4 of Tracks is kind of the
equivalent. There you go.
Don't really play
good
it.
Good analogy. Good analogy.
Those first 3 CDs are packed, loaded.
That's amazing. Now, this is going to be a hard question to answer in the age of streaming and all the different streaming platforms having slightly different stuff. But where would you recommend that somebody who, you know, like us years ago, only knew post, you know, Nights on Broadway, Jive Talking stuff, where would you recommend they start?
Well, you know what I would do? They have so many compilations, but if you really just want to get the early stuff, they have 2 CDs, single CDs of, one's called Best of Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Holding up the album here, the vinyl.
Right. You guys may know the cover. It's yellow with pink, Best of the Bee Gees. Upper left, yeah, and there's a fourth guy on there. They did work with some drummers and guitar players, right, for a while in the band, although they were never really front and center.
Exactly. Their band became, I think, more important when they did the album after Main Course. It's called. But yeah, they did actually have a band. Some musicians who toured with them. But anyway, I digress. There's a Best of Bee Gees Volume 2, which I think is also worth checking out. Problem with the compilations is they all have a mix of the early stuff, the disco era stuff, and the later stuff. But if you really just want to focus on this era, you got to just go with one of those two. Or find Bee Gees Gold. It was never put on CD. There was never a volume two, even though that one's called Bee Gees Gold Volume 1. But you can find used copies of that pretty easy. That's a solid, solid listen. So either of those, you can't go wrong.
There you go. I mean, for all the Discord heads out there in the world who like to search Discogs and find them, those albums, you probably can do well. And I would definitely second that emotion. I probably haven't listened to as much of this as you have, but I did have that Best of Bee Gees album eventually when I started to understand that there was other stuff. And that could be the essential place to start and expand from there. And I think, and maybe you've heard some of these songs, you know, once years ago, or heard them every now and then or something, which kind of was the boat I was in. I mean, I know, obviously I heard New York Mining Disaster. I heard some of the other ones, but to go back and revisit them with fresh ears was really a treat. So I got to say thanks to you, Paul, very much for coming up with this idea. Cause it's, and I'm just saying that from a selfish perspective, I don't care what these listeners think. Now, I just have enjoyed it quite a bit. It really has been wonderful to hear the pop craftsmanship that they had. And like you said, kind of slip between the cracks.
Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts about them. And, your podcast has a standard. I hope I met it, and look forward to, more episodes and just good stuff that you guys continually put out there for us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And it's wonderful to have met you. And obviously we met in person at Suburbs Fest, and that was wonderful too. And it's great to go through this kind of thing. I love it and I don't think we do it as often as we used to. And so I don't think we do it as often, you know, enough. When we do a little week and just focus on an artist and that's out there, that's like a real gem for everybody. We do work hard on new music, but it's also great to discover some of this old stuff. And like I was saying, I mean, I could see, you know, a band like, I don't know, La Luz or, you know, somebody creating a song that sounds like these early Bee Gees songs and people being like, yeah, that's great. New music, you know, because a lot of bands do work in those kind of gray to sepia tones with music that's more bright. And it's just kind of mind-blowing to go back and learn history. So I've really enjoyed it.
Well, thanks again for having me, Patrick. And
absolutely. Folks, if you have any thoughts on the Bee Gees or early Bee Gees stories or anecdotes or anything, love to hear them. Hey, if you want to bring on the chest hair and the medallions, sure, we'll entertain those thoughts too. So you can get in touch with us. You can email us, attach a voice file, because we love to hear your voice on this show at rocketsuburbspod.com is a great way to get in touch. And of course, you can follow us at Suburbs Pod on all the social medias. Paul, thanks for once again for these episodes, and we'll be counting on you to rack your brain for another one. We'll give you some time to work it out, but we'd love to have it if you have any thoughts.
Sure. That'd be great. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Thank you, Paul. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back soon with more Rock in the Suburbs. We're here every weekday, and you know where to find us. Also, make sure to listen to Rock in the Suburbs Radio when you get a chance. It's a great, great radio station. We'll see if we can't talk Paul into doing something one of these days when he's not so busy with his work. So we'll see. Might have to be a seasonal show for you, Paul, in your business. Yes. All right. With that, we will sign off. I am Patrick Foster. Thank you very much, Paul Hayden, for joining me. And we will talk to you guys later.
Change of scenery. It's nice and sunny down there. Why don't you go check it out?